Dr. Amalia Gonyas-Malka. Welcome to Womanity, Woman in Unity, the show that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggles for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, democracy, racism, socioeconomic class division, and gender-based violence. Joining us today is Ms. Sophie Ndaba. She grew up in Soweto and established herself as a sought-after model in South Africa before getting into acting, where she became a household name playing gossip-loving receptionist Queen Maroka in Generations. She is also a pioneering business leader. Her talent for entertaining is not limited to acting. She is also a motivational speaker and has served in various leadership and community roles for many organizations and brands over the years, such as Ambassador for Health of Northern Cape Province, Ambassador for Housing Celebrity Built in association with National Ministry of Housing, Patron for University Johannesburg Panorama Residence for Girls, Patron for Five a Day to Good Health, Ambassador for Sports, Ambassador for PEP, Ambassador for Tourism KwaZulu-Natal, Ambassador for the Department of Community and Safety in Gauteng Province, Ambassador for Student Sponsorship Program South Africa, as well as Ambassador for Cell C. What an incredible list.
Yes. I think that list tells a lot about my heart and my mind and how they intertwine.
Well, welcome to the show. We're glad that you could join us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Can you please share with us some of the memories from when you were growing up? What influenced you in those years? And what's left the biggest mark on you the most to make you the person you are today?
I think my vision of growing up was, who do I want to be? Because I think when we're all young, we all ask ourselves a simple question. Am I going to be a policewoman? Am I going to be a doctor? Am I going to be a therapist? What? And I wanted to be a doctor, and I understood why I wanted to be a doctor. You know, it only comes to you later on that, why would I choose medicine over acting? It's so fabulous. And I understood that, you know, we all have a purpose in life, and I found my purpose. My purpose is that, you know, when God puts you on this earth, he mandates you. And my mandate was very simple. It's either I become a doctor and I, you know, get through people through operations. And he gave me a more fun career because he knew that I'd still change lives, I'd still heal people in many other ways, but I'd have fun doing it. And that's where my purpose is. And I think finally deciding to be an actress came from that.
So leading to a sense of being able to touch other people's lives and to be able to help them change.
Fabulous kind of way, yes. Because I think a lot of celebrities, when they become celebrities, they're more into themselves and into being divas or whatever. And they don't understand that when you become a well-known person, you have a responsibility bigger than a regular person. You have a responsibility in how you carry yourself, in how you have a platform to change people's lives through the influence that you have. And that comes with, you know, the level that you're at that particular time. So, I mean, it's a big job, it's a big mandate, but it also goes with your heart. Do you see yourself being that person that has that purpose and has to fulfill the mandate to change lives?
And I'm sure that is possibly intertwined in a lot of the work that you do from an ambassador point of view with those very diverse organizations.
Oh, yes. What they did is, you know how organizations tend to feel that partnering with celebrities gives them a bit of clout and really adds value to what they're doing. But I think a lot of them forget that even when you choose ambassadors for your programs, you need to choose people who really mean it even after the door is closed.
But it's also about aligning your brand with the same values of your brand ambassador.
Absolutely, your personal brand.
Yes.
I think people forget their personal brand and they think more of the brand that people want to see. You have to first launch yourself as a person and say, I am Sophie and this is who I am and this is what I stand for. So by the time you approach me and say, can you partner with us? It's in line with my personal vision and my personal purpose. And I think they've hit it spot on. Everything that I've been approached to do has been so wonderful because it's made life easy for me. So instead of me trying through my personal foundation called the Sophie Foundation of Hope, I do not then have all the drama of throughout the year trying to come up with these amazing projects. I can just simply partner with all these departments and still fulfill the mandate because it's not about being seen as the biggest foundation. The foundation represents me as Sophie. So if Sophie gets to do other programs with other entities, it's still fulfilling the same purpose.
And I'd like to talk a bit more about the foundation a little bit later.
Yes.
But focusing still in terms of the career aspects, mm-hmm. almost the bread and butter component, over the years you've been nominated for various awards.
Yes.
People Magazine Crystal Awards, Elle Sunday Times Style Awards, You Magazine Spectacular Awards for 3 years, 2008, 2010, 2011. You Magazine's Spectacular Favorite Actress Awards 2010, 2011, the Sunday Times Next Generation Brand Survey Awards for 2012, and you've also won numerous awards like the Duku Duku Award for Best Soap Actress, Kellogg's Star in You Kids Award for Favorite Soap Actress, Golden Horn Award for Best Comic Actor, You Magazine Award for Favorite Actress in 2010, and Sunday Times Next Generation Brand Survey Awards as the coolest TV female star. Can you please share with us a few of the landmarks in your career and when you understood that acting was going to be a big role, almost that the journey you mentioned briefly when you were either looking at it from being a medical doctor or pursuing the acting direction? What were those triggers?
For me to ultimately end up in acting or fulfilling this purpose is, you know, as I was starting out, I was a model, so I was much younger. You know, when you're much younger, you don't, you get more excited about what you want to do, but you don't really understand what it entails. And as you grow and you start understanding who you are, what you want to be, what you want to achieve, you start saying, okay, if I'm going to be a model, what value is it to me? Because that's where I started. If I'm going to be an actress, what value is it? Because that's where I ended up. And if I'm if I see myself as a young entrepreneur, why do I want to be an entrepreneur? Is it because I'm into money, or is it because I'm a hard worker? So I had to identify all those things within myself to say, why am I doing what I want to do? Because I remember once falling sick, and a doctor of mine said to me, Sophie, you don't sleep enough. That's why you've got headaches, by the way. These attention headaches, it's got nothing to do with your head. You're just working too hard. But are you enjoying what you're doing? And for me to get to ultimately do what I'm doing currently and what I've been doing for the past few years is I identified what I'm happy doing when I'm doing it. So even if I ended up sleeping 6 hours on that day instead of the 9-8 hours that is required, I wouldn't get as sick as I used to because I was now enjoying what I'm doing. But more importantly, fulfilling my purpose together, you know. And that's when I knew, when that doctor said to me that find what it is that you want. And obviously people around you commending you and telling you that this is what you're doing and you're really doing well. Congratulations. We love what you're doing. It reassures you. It reminds you that, okay, I am doing the right thing, but am I happy? Yes, I am happy. So if those two things go together, it means I'm heading the right direction. And with business, obviously, it's a different ball game to television and the entertainment industry because it's corporate. It's very serious, and everybody is quite serious. In our world, we all smile. In that world, everybody is serious, and you don't know what they're thinking. So it was quite challenging for me, and I love the challenge that I go into a world where you don't know if people are going to say yes or no. And if they say yes, they've got so many expectancies. Are you able to meet up, you know, and meet those expectancies? So it's been an amazing, amazing journey. And when I got into business, I understood that when I was growing up, living in foster homes after the orphanage that I lived in, I had to work in businesses to pay for my school fees, to pay myself through high school. So it was like a start. You know, when God just grants you that start and you don't understand it, that's why they say you must always find the good and the bad. That's my motto. So the bad was that I had to work, unlike other kids who did movies on weekends. But, you know, what came out of it was really me learning business and doing my practicals as a teenager, as opposed to going to varsity and doing the practicals later on and being the entrepreneur of note. So for me, I was already doing my practicals at age 14, 15, 16. 17, I had already registered my own company. 18, I had already won my first contract. By the time I was 22, I was running a fully-fledged company that hired probably 8 to 10 people on a monthly basis.
But that is an incredible story. And I think often people think that you got to where you are now.
Absolutely not.
But
not,
that was not. A significant achievement. So starting off in your teens,
yes.
That's when you made through and developed your success and balancing that commitment of attending school and still sustaining yourself.
And working Friday to Sunday. Yes.
Well, I was going to ask you if you could take us back to some of the moments when all the hard work
that you've invested into your career paid off, but clearly it happens sooner than later.
Absolutely. I mean, I would just add on that foundation is quite important. And, you know, even when I do my motivational talks, I always tell women that at times they feel that, oh, I didn't grow up with my mother. Oh, they go through pity parties. They throw their own parties indefinitely. And it ends them up in depression hospitals, et cetera, et cetera. I've got a few friends who've ended up there, you know. And I just think that whatever foundation you come from, you need to find the good in that bad. For instance, I grew up in an orphanage. Why was I there? Oh, no, I was there because I wasn't there because I was an orphan. I was there because that was the only way I could go to school. You know, whereas 99.9% of the kids who are in orphanages don't have parents. So imagine being a child who's got a mother in a home with kids who don't have parents, crying every night. You are there crying for your own mother, but you know you're going to see her Christmas time. And it's also Christmas time, it's if you can afford to go home Christmas time. And I was in a foreign country. I was in Zimbabwe. So here I was thinking, okay, God, and that's where my relationship with God started, because I understood that in order to be that woman that stands out, in order to be different, in order to continually rise after falling every time you fall, you have that special connection with God. A lot of people are, you know, either spiritual or not. And I thought that if I have a personal relationship with God, I'm going to be able to have someone that I talk to other than a normal human being in my own little space, in my own little corner. And when I was growing up, all I learned was faith is the substance of things not seen yet hoped for. And that's what I used growing up in understanding that if I have faith and believe in what I'm doing, I don't see it, I can't see it, I can't touch it, it's not tangible. But if I believe in it, let me test it and let me see. You know, so I used that, and that's what allowed me to become what I am today, because I looked at the orphanage. What was the good in the orphanage? The good is that I found my relationship with God, because I used to go to church every Sunday. There was nowhere else to go. So I was then, you know, introduced to God, interestingly so. And then after that, I then went, after finishing my primary school, high school, I then lived with families who said, no, let's take her in. She can't be living in an orphanage while she's got relatives around. And they took me in. Those were my foster homes and foster parents. And there was another foster parent that I lived with in another town called Bulawayo in Zimbabwe. And she used to say, oh, no, kids don't wash in hot water. Oh, no, kids don't eat this. Kids don't do that. And I was a young child, so I never really understood, and it really didn't bother me. And it's only when I was old I thought, wow, that woman, she actually taught me to be a stronger person. And in understanding rules, that this is not for you, but this is for you. This is not for you, but this is for you. So that was lesson number two. The first lesson was understanding who God is, having a relationship. The second one was understanding what rules are and following them and learning to follow them. And the third one was living with this family that took me in as a second foster family, who ran five different businesses. There was a butchery, there was a flower shop, it was a supermarket. They had all the businesses you could think of in your head, they had them. And they said, we've got kids the same age as you. I was probably 14, 15. If you work for your school fees, you can live with us. And I said, no problem. They taught me business. So I know what happens in a butchery. If you ask me any part of the cow's body or lamb body, I'll tell you, this is the hind quarter, this is the leg quarter, because I learned that as a child. And florist. You know, I worked there, so I swapped. This Saturday I'd work at this shop, that Saturday I'd work there, and I'd choose where I want to work, and I'd learn everything. And by the time that was done, I'm a wedding planner for the past 15 years. Now, where did that come from? It came from the good, so from the bad.
All of those foundations, that almost internships that you were working on at such a young age, and building on and building on until your successful business.
Absolutely, came. And those are big empires.
Yes.
So, you know, I didn't work in a spaza shop. I worked in huge supermarket chains and huge, you know, butcheries and et cetera, et cetera. And that's what allowed me. And I lived in these big houses, these big mansions that never belonged to me, but I was just a Cinderella in that house. And I looked at it and I thought, okay, if people can live like this, and I believe in this faith principle, it simply means I can have a mansion of my own. Hence, when I then got out of wherever I got out of, and I started working, and I started achieving, and I started losing some and gaining some and losing some and getting down and up, I still achieved every dream that I had. I wanted a mansion, I have a mansion. I wanted another second home, I have a second home. I wanted a holiday home, I have a holiday home. I wanted more than one car, I've got more than one car. I want to go on holiday to Paris, I can do it anytime. And you don't have to be a celebrity to achieve that. You just need to work hard, believe in yourself. Whenever you fall down, get up.
Thank you for sharing those important words and a very strong message.
Thank you.
We'll take a short break. Hi, this is Lyra, South African Afro Soul singer and songwriter. You're listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, presented by Dr. Amalia Malka on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, a program that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggle for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, and democracy. Today, we're talking to award-winning South African actress Sophie Ndaba, who also adds entrepreneurship and wedding planning to her multi-talented list. We'd love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. In our previous segment, Sophie spoke about her foundation, her years growing up through from an orphanage, transitioning through to the foundations that she had in the numerous entrepreneurship roles and how they have held in good stead for her future where she is today. Moving forwards, can you share with us some of the goals that you still want to accomplish?
I think this is just the beginning for me. In business, I think that with everything, there's a foundation. And I think everything that I have now is the foundation, meaning the structure that's going to hold everything that's going to grow above it. For instance, I've got a production company where for 20 years, 25 years, I committed myself to being an actress in television in South Africa. And now I've registered my own production company where I'm going to produce shows. So that experience is now going to come alive in a different sense of where I'm going to now be a producer behind the camera. I'll still act probably, but I've taken a break and I'm very happy doing that. You know, you always have fears as a person as to say, if I stop this, what's going to happen to me? And for me, it's been the most amazing space where I've learned to breathe. I'm no longer thinking, yes, every day I need to do the same thing. It's allowed me to explore. So my vision now is obviously to do that. And more than that, is to grow my business. And, you know, it's been with my wedding planning business, I've been planning weddings for the past 15 years. And now we're growing. I mean, we have been subcontracting a lot of companies that supply us with things. And for me now, the growth is really to have my own warehouse and subcontract myself. And that's where the growth comes in. It may not be visual for anybody to see, but internally, it means we are growing as a company. We are no longer consultants. We are now actioning things on our own internally, which makes it a big, massive empire. You know, having your own warehouse with your own equipment, tables, chairs, having a division that's catering, having a division where...
sustainable.
Absolutely.
And it also opens up those other revenue streams in terms of being able to provide and offer your services to others.
Absolutely. And probably about a month ago, I was in Mauritius for a wedding planning congress where I was a guest speaker speaking to all the wedding planners from across the globe. And it just showed me that now the sky's the limit. If I'm recognized internationally, you know, with sharing a stage with people who plan royal weddings in Dubai and in Rome and in France, and here's Sophie from Soweto standing there on the stage and thinking, yes, I'm here. I can also tell you a thing or two on what not to do and what to do. And it was quite interesting. And, you know, this is where I see that now the platform for me to not only grow my business in the sense of structurally, but also as a consultant consulting worldwide. I've planned a few weddings internationally. I've planned weddings in New York. I've done Mauritius, of course, two weddings in Mauritius. I've done Namibia. I've done Swaziland. I've done, you know, all the African countries really over the years. But now it just shows that I can take a step further. And another company that I have is Interior Decor. If you look at all these things, they all work together as one. When people get married, they always want to move into a new house or they want to renovate the old one because the guy lived alone or the woman lived alone. And our company also provides the service of renovating a home or sourcing furniture for a home because we are decorators and we're specialists and we've been doing this for years. So it's been amazing because we've got now contracts where we renovate offices and we renovate homes and we actually project manage processes like that.
Where everything sounds like a fantastic complementary
Absolutely.
Process
it
with
those
together. Different businesses. Turning towards a personal note, we spoke earlier about your life from an orphanage point of view, and you support a number of different programs that promote the progression of women and children, charities, mm-hmm. and in effect giving back to the community, one of them being the Abraham Creel Children's Home, the Mandini Children's Home, Reach for a Dream and Cancer Shave-a-thon. And together, I understand that those elements inspired the Sophie Foundation of Hope?
Not really. They reminded me that it's one of my mandates from God, because I just thought, you know, it's not time yet. And, you know, the interesting thing is that there's nothing that's ever the right time. So if you're ready to do it, you just do it. And for me, I just thought, let me take that leap of faith. I'm Sophie Ndaba now. If I say, hi, I'm Sophie Ndaba, can you partner with me? Because I'm at that level now where I've got a bit of brand value. People will listen. And also remembering that I came from a children's home where there was a gentleman, an old man, who would come for everybody's birthday and bring you that cake that 20 of you in that house, in that particular house at the orphanage, would share a small piece of and wait for the next birthday to come before you can share another cake of your own. And we look at our kids today and they're able to have access to those things on a daily basis. And, you know, for me, it was remembering that I need to be that old man, even though I'm Sophie, but I need to be that woman that comes into an orphanage or comes into a space and kids can say, I'm looking forward to her changing my life again on this date or on her birthday. So that's where it really came from, remembering that I used to sleep under that blanket that somebody donated, whomever it may have been that I don't even know and never met. And I used to dream, that used to be my dream corner, in my bed under a blanket. I used to dream about who and what I want to become. And, you know, you're sharing a dormitory with 20 other kids who are crying, or they're very dramatic, or they're jumpy all the time, and you are the shy little girl, and all you have is your dreams and your prayers. And that's where that really came from. That's where the birth of the Sophie Foundation came from, understanding that I need to allow that little girl to dream under her blanket. And that's why when we started the foundation, the first things that we really gave to young people at that time were blankets, school shoes, school uniforms, because I just remembered that I want them to use that blanket to dream under it and say, this is the only space. We're sharing 20 of us in one house, but when I'm under this blanket, it's my space. I can dream.
And Sophie, I think that's a magic component, but more so in the fact of who you are today.
Yeah.
Because it just goes to show that it doesn't matter where you come from, it doesn't matter what life throws at you, that you can become anybody.
Absolutely. I mean, I've been through everything. I've made headlines of any newspaper and every newspaper you can think of. You know, people thinking, saying what they want because they don't know me. And, you know, you can't really stand on top of a mountain and say, listen here, everybody, this is who I am. So the best thing you can do is say, they will drop me. I will get up. I'll crack, but I won't break. You know, so for me, I've cracked a couple of times and I've fixed myself a couple of times and I'm up, you know. I've had so many disappointments in my life, and you know they were there to strengthen me, make me a better person. I've been a soldier of my own life, because I think you cannot really go to war and expect to win without fighting and not expecting to get wounded. So my journey in life, all the wounds and the scars that have proven, the pain in my mind, the memories that I have, you know, it just reminds me why I need to be a better person and why I fight so hard, why I wake up at 5 and start praying and start working already when other people could be sleeping at that time. I have a reason to wake up every day, because I have a mission and a vision and a mandate that I set for myself and targets that by this time I need to be here and this is where I see myself. So those things don't come overnight. They come. Rome was not built in one day. So it's a process and I'm building my Rome.
And those are strong factors of success, which I think you subscribe to, from persistence, from time management.
Yes.
And in this process, in this journey, you've become a role model to many young women and girls in South Africa, and I'm sure across the continent, proving
Absolutely.
That hard work and personal sacrifice, you can achieve things.
Absolutely.
Can you share with us possibly some of the gender challenges that you've encountered during your career, and what would be your advice to girls who possibly want to follow in your footsteps from an acting point of view?
Gender, you know, to me, I just think that if you're a hard worker and you know what it is that you want to do, even if it's defined as a man's world or perceived as a man's world, just go for it. Because now our government supports women's programs. They want to put women in the forefront. Even if you target tenders that everybody's going for, you get better points if you are a group of women than if you're a group of men. So it's our time, ladies. I think it's our time to really go out there and not say nobody ever cared, because even our government is supporting the vision and the mission of women to succeed. And we are mothers. God made us different. I think he made us different from men because we are able to multitask better than them. They multitask too, I'll give them that, but we're better. And I think the fact that we can bear children, take care of them, cook for them, and still be career women and still come out fabulous, I think that is a plus, plus, plus. So because you are born a woman, already that's a plus, plus, plus. And, you know, even if somebody puts you down, because of the strength you automatically possess inside, you are able to then be in a position to be that woman that you want to be. And understand that life is a journey where there are days that are the storms. You know, you can be stuck in the middle of a storm, but the wonderful thing is after every storm, the rainbow comes out. I think you need to wait for your rainbow and you need to fight for your rainbow, because when you're stuck in the middle of a circle is round. You don't know if you should go left, right, or center. But if you keep pushing, ultimately you'll find that rainbow after your storm. So storms are there to make you a stronger person. They are there to make you a better person. I don't think any woman who's been through a storm, who hasn't been through a storm, can call themselves a real woman to me. Because if you have not gone through anything that has hurt you, or you know, haven't been through any particular storm, you're not yet there. It's still coming. It's still coming. You cannot say you've succeeded. So I think you've succeeded for me if you've been through all those ups and downs but risen from them. And you can then qualify to be a role model because you've been there, done that.
And that's the most important part, is learning from it, but also rising up again. Because so often people will go through an experience, encounter it, have a negative attitude towards it, not learning from the good within the bad experience, and give up.
Yes. I mean, I have a daughter, Shalon. She's I think, 29. Her mother died when she was 4, and I was a teenager myself, and she was my sister, and I had to bring up Shalon as my daughter. And, you know, you go through phases.
So Shalon is your sister's daughter?
Yes, my late sister's daughter, but she's obviously my daughter because I'm the only mother she knows. And I was a young teenage mother, of course, and I had to, you know, we had to grow up together. So it was like, okay, let's learn this thing together. And when my mother was alive, she helped, but as Shalon became a teenager, I had to take that responsibility, and I was still a young girl myself, so it's never been easy. And as a woman, sometimes you are given, you know, responsibilities that you were not prepared for, but you have to understand that, you know, some of us are fortunate. The ones that are given those kind of responsibilities are the fortunate ones, in my view. They're the chosen ones, because God knows that you're strong enough to carry that, and he's preparing you for something bigger. So if I didn't become a mother to Shalon, if I didn't, you know, foster her and take care of her and become that mother that she wanted, I wouldn't be the woman that I am now, because it also built my heart to understand that you don't have to be my own for you to me to love you, for me to take care of you. So it taught me so many other elements besides paying for her school fees, being that mother that goes to all her school plays, etc., missing some of them and feeling bad, you know. So it just built me as a woman and as a person to understand that I have to learn to share and I have to learn to give. And, you know, you learn so many principles about being a mother, a woman, through all those kind of journeys.
And looking at that dynamic, the journey of almost growing up with your daughter at the same time, one of the areas as an ambassador, you are an ambassador to Cell C.
Yes.
And every year they host a day where it's take a girl child to work.
Absolutely.
And I know that increasingly as the years have gone by, and I think they're in their 13th year or 15th year, it's a long time. But each year they try and do something different. And as I understand it, for the last couple of years, they've undertaken a mentorship program where they bring in girls for a longer period. Because let's face it, going to work for one day, it's nice, but it's not really going to add any strong benefit to
it. It just reminds you of where you want to see yourself,
You have participated in the mentorship program. Can you take us through some of the components on it and what its aim is?
I think last year I was invited to be by Cell C, of course, to be an ambassador and a mentor for these young girls. They come, I think, from grade 9 to 12, and I was given a girl from the East Rand. And, you know, the mandate was really to become a mother to her for a year and not to live with her or anything that dramatic. She lives with her aunt and her grandmother, etc., and her mother from time to time. And it was just to guide her through what she, and who she wants to become. she must just have that person that she can say, I was thinking of doing this. Do you think it's the right thing? Which channel should I follow? You know, being hooked up, basically, in simple English. Because I think when we go into business, we want to network and want to be hooked up and want to connect. And I think it's about, you know, guiding that child to know how to connect, to know what is networking, to know that this, and prepare them that the world is not easy. There'll be a lot of no's, but there will be a yes. And preparing them and letting them have someone that, you know, they look up to inspire them to be a better person. I mean, if I'm here where I am today and I didn't have anybody inspiring me, and this is, and look at me now. So if she has me and she has other support structures, including Salsi as a highlight that created this very opportunity, she's got no excuse to not become the best she can be.
Yeah, and it's having the right advisors, because there's a lot of people who will offer advice.
Yes.
Which may be well-intentioned, but not necessarily in the best interests of the individual.
Absolutely. So that's why I think Salsi as a brand, they carefully selected people who they saw to be the best mentors, people who they look at in society as people who are life changers. But more importantly, they, you know, I think it was quite commendable of them to look at somebody like me who has fallen from time to time and risen and fallen from time to time. And another person could look at it and think, but she's not perfect. She's never really done something spectacular and been 100% on par. But you see, we're experienced. You've been there, done that. And who are you now is what counts. So even if as a woman you're out there and you haven't really succeeded, you can be the best you can be. So these programs are really to say, even if as a young girl you used to do drugs, even if you were pregnant at a teenage level, you can still rise, you know, and go, you know, and rise and become the best you can be. So that's the role that we play. So it doesn't matter where these girls come from. We're given their profiles. We know a lot about who they live with, what kind of life they lead, do they eat on a daily basis. I mean, Salsi has got a Stop Hunger campaign that they've partnered with. And those are the kind of partnerships that we come with that assist these girls to be able to survive and to be able to grow and become the best women they can be. And this is the second year that I'm a part of it now. We've been asked to be a part of it, where I'm going to get a different girl that I'm going to mentor. But it's quite exciting because I was also appointed as a fairy godmother for Salsi.
And what is the capacity of fairy godmother? Have you got a wand?
Your wish is my command, is what I do. You know, girls dream, they ask, you know, we at Salsi, we just believe in the vision of believe, achieve. You know, if you wish it, believe it, you will achieve it. And I think that's our logo. It's very simple. It should be a standard for everybody in their life that if you believe, if you wish it, if you believe it, you will definitely achieve it. And that's really the motto. Believe it, you'll achieve it. And obviously you have to work hard at it, and it can be the best you can be. And being a fairy godmother is quite an honor, because now I'm going to be involved in programs where it's no longer about that one child that we're mentoring. If there are programs where there's a group of kids that we feel want to make their dreams come through this program, we're going to be able to enable them to be the best they can be.
Well, thank you for sharing some of the business sides and insights into the work that you've done, highlighting the successes as well as the failures. We'll take a short break.
Hi, my name is Yvonne Takataka, and I'm UNICEF and Rollback Malaria Goodwill Ambassador. You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, a program that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in the struggle for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, and democracy. A program against social ills such as racism, socio-economic class division, and gender-based violence. Womanity, Women in Unity, presented by Dr. Amalia Balka every week on this day at this time.
Today, we're talking to award-winning South African actress Sophie Ndaba. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. In our previous segment, Sophie spoke about her business commitments and various roles and some of the more philanthropic work that she's doing in terms of mentorship programs with young girls to help them fulfill their dreams by believing and achieving. Sophie, our program, Womanity, Women in Unity, is all about gender equality, which increasingly is a global focus. And as such, building female leadership capacity is important not only for women in South Africa, but also in the continent. And I know that you've mentioned how supportive the South African government is in terms of being able to award more points for women, so that there is a pro option in terms of gaining tenders. How do you see female leadership, whether it is in the political space, schools, business, entertainment, or any other industry for that matter?
I think women are just going out there in all industries. You see women engineers, you see women doctors have been there for years. You see, I think the engineering, the technical aspect is where women thought it was a man's world. And now they're taking them on and they're like, we are here, we want it to be fair. I remember when I was judging Miss Essay about 2 months ago, one of the contestants in my interview with her, I said, what do you do? And she says, well, I'm studying engineering. And I said, why? She says, well, I just believe that in my class, there's like 3 of us as women and the rest are men, and they're always constantly thinking, you will not pass this semester. And the 3 of us always gang up and say, let's team up to show them that we can. And I think that's the kind of spirit that we talk about, the spirit of women coming together and helping one another to say we can. And I think that was just an amazing aspect of that finalist, to say that we as women, we know that we're in a man's world, we know it's been a man's world, but we are taking up the challenge and we want to prove that we can. And we've proved it because we have passed most of our semesters and most of our courses. And I thought, wow, it's wonderful. And that just continually proves that even in the entertainment industry, you can look from the 30s, women have been there, they've been producing, they've been directing, they've been acting, they've been dancing. So it was never really a man's world, it was our world together. It's just that, you know, men are meant to lead generally. I'm a Christian woman, so yes, I believe that men will always lead, men will always be the leaders of the home. However, it's a partnership. And I think that if I'm in a position of management or I'm a CEO and a male is a GM or a CEO in another division, I think we're equal. I believe we're equal. As long as we work the same and we work as hard as each other, I think we qualify to hold our positions. And women have indeed arrived and they are taking over, in my view.
And in your opinion, in terms of moving forwards to the future, what is it that you think women need most to really benefit themselves in the future?
Women need to believe in themselves. I think if you look at the depression rate in South Africa, you realize that women are the most depressed. Why? If something doesn't go their way, they sulk, they go into their own little cocoons, they throw pity parties, they want people to feel sorry for them. And for me, I just believe that if you're a woman and you know where you want to go, you must just be ready for the challenges that are about to become in front of you.
And now we're coming to the end of our show. In closing our discussion, can you please share a few words of wisdom or inspiration that you'd like to pass on to our young girls and young women who are listening to the program on the continent?
I'd say, if you don't have a dream, where do you hope to go? Find that dream. Nurture that dream, fight for that dream to come alive, and understand that there are a lot of hurdles that you're going to pass, and hurdles were never easy because you're going to jump and fall and jump and fall and jump and fall. But the truth about jumping and falling, even when you're running in hurdles, if it's a race, you're going to reach the finish line. And I think what you need to do is to find your finish line. You know, see all those hurdles before you. There could be 20, there could be 10, there could be 5, there could be 2 for some of us. But, and they're all different with every season. So just understand that those hurdles are there so that every time you stop and start, you're thinking how you can do better. So I want to just motivate and encourage a lot of young people and a lot of young women and grown women out there that the sky is the limit. It's always said as a saying that the sky is the limit, but really there is no limit to the sky because it's endless, really. And for me, I just believe that you must just go for what you want and remember the hurdles, that there is a finish line.
Thank you for sharing that message of inspiration on dreaming big, believing, and being resilient in the face of challenges.
Absolutely. Dream, believe, and you will definitely achieve.
And we look forward to hearing about your new ventures in the future.
Oh, yes. I'll be out there. I've got a few hurdles before me currently, but I know I'll reach the finish line myself soon. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. You have been listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, on frequency 9625 kHz on the 31-meter band. And today we have been talking to award-winning South African actress Sophie Indaba.